Are you looking to connect with a diverse audience of developers? Look no further. You can partner with us here at the Code Newbie Podcast, and we'll help get your message out to our incredible listeners in an ad just like this one, led by me, your host. Contact us by emailing sponsors@codenewbie.org. Welcome to the Code Newbie Podcast, where we talk to people on their coding journey in hopes of helping you on yours. I'm your host, Ron, and today we're doing an off-season mini-episode talking about what it looks like when you start coding very early in life with Opamipu Disu, 15-year-old developer advocate at YourSpace.
My schoolwork is during the day, and in the evening, I work with my team around 3 a.m. or 1 a.m.
Opamipu talks about what got him into coding so young, the resources and tools he enjoys using, and what his life looks like juggling high school and his coding projects after this. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
So you are currently 15 years old, and you've already done some really cool things in your development career. Can you tell us about your coding journey and how you got into all of this?
So I actually got into coding when I was 10, got my first laptop when I was 5, and around the age of 5 to 10. So I was busy making research about the technologies I actually wanted to learn. For example, JavaScript, PHP, Python, and other machine learning technologies.
Wow. So what inspired you to start doing all this at such a young age?
I actually love different applications like Facebook, WhatsApp, Elon Musk, that's my role model, and also Mark Zuckerberg, and I also have Bill Gates. So I follow their stories, and it's guided me through my coding journey.
So tell me what it looks like to teach yourself. What resources do you use? How do you figure out what to learn and what resources you pick? Tell me about that.
When I was learning Visual Basic and different technologies, I used EDX. My first online resource I used was Allison.com, where I have my certificates for Visual Basic, my fundamental in Visual Basic programming course. And also EDX, I have Code Academy, I have Coursera, I have Udacity, and the rest.
So right now, you're a developer advocate at YourSpace. What is YourSpace?
YourSpace is actually a platform that enables you to create a web application or a portfolio website and a blog in few steps.
Very cool. And what does your role look like there? What does a developer advocate at YourSpace do?
Being a developer advocate at YourSpace, it's actually a very, very, very multi-tasking responsibility. For example, you have to work on creating technical articles, working on creating new features for our space, working on different stuffs like walkthrough videos and giving feedback to the developer community, and actually working with the software engineers with the team, and also working with the marketing of your space.
So being a developer advocate at any job is, you know, it's a tough job. It requires someone to be a good communicator, but also someone who's very technical. And you got this role at age 15. How did you get hired for this role?
Yeah, so I actually love making things more accessible for developers, making things more accessible for different people to use, which is actually something I'm passionate about. For example, I'm working on making Jamstack more accessible to developers and machine learning more accessible to developers using IBM Watson. So with IBM Watson and Jamstack, I've been able to do different things, which made me a developer advocate. For example, I started off with working at Tutor Book App as a developer advocate last year. And being a developer advocate actually comes with a very great responsibility of making things more accessible for people. So I moved into Agility CMS. That's one of the best Jamstack tools for developers. So I moved into Agility CMS as a developer advocate. Agility CMS is currently at Toronto, Canada. So as a 15-year-old, the advice I give people is they should keep reaching out to companies. For example, I'm working on collaborating with IBM and other companies like Agility CMS. I'm currently collaborating with them, and I reach out to companies to seek job applications without the main company requesting for the role I want.
That's a great idea. I love that you're so confident and so, you know, ambitious and persistent in continuing to ask these companies for roles. And it sounds like it works out for you. Yeah, it worked out.
Thank you.
So what do you like most about being a developer advocate? What's your favorite part of the job?
Yeah, my favorite part of the developer advocate job is the community aspects. For example, people reach out to me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram about Airspace or different companies I'm working for. And it's actually a very, very, very good part. Like people reaching out to me and then giving them feedback or giving them a very great response about the product.
So you are still in school. How do you find time to be a developer advocate and also stay on top of your homework, your schoolwork? How do you manage that?
My schoolwork is during the day, and in the evening, I work with my team around 3 a.m. or 1 a.m. And I also do that in the evening also, 6 to maybe 2 a.m.
Wow, that is intense. That is a very, very busy schedule. So one of the really neat things about your career, your background, is that you've already become an IBM champion. Can you tell us what that means, what that is, and how you got there?
IBM champion means you're a leader and an expert in the IBM community. Being an IBM champion is also being like a developer advocate for the IBM community. This is mainly the program or the developer advocacy program that actually helped me out with developer advocacy. To be selected to be an IBM champion, you have to be a top contributor in the IBM community. That's the only way I became an IBM champion. Someone nominated me after becoming a top contributor in the IBM community.
What did you contribute to?
I think I'm a very different IBM champion. For example, myself, I do open source, but not for the IBM community. I do blogging. I have feedbacks about different projects like IBM Watson. That's the basic thing I do for IBM as an IBM champion.
You're also really big into Jamstack, which you've already mentioned a couple times. Can you tell us what Jamstack is?
Jamstack is mainly for different technologies that works with Jamstack is Next.js, Gatsby.js, and Nuxt.js also, to mention a few. It's basically this JavaScript technology for developers that makes the web more accessible to everyone. That's the way I can define Jamstack better.
So do you have any personal projects? I don't know if you have time for it, but do you have any personal projects that you're also working on and excited about?
I'm currently working on Africa's first movie subscription website, something like Netflix, but for African movies only.
So for Netflix, for African movies, how are you building that? What tools and technologies are you using?
It's mainly JavaScript and PHP I'm using for developing this platform.
So you are based in Nigeria, I believe. Is that right? And I think that most, not all, but most of our listeners, I believe, are US-based. Tell us about the technology landscape in Nigeria. What's that community like?
Yeah, I think in Nigeria, we have a lot of developers in Nigeria. I see them on Twitter every day, but don't associate with them. We have people who use different technologies in Nigeria, interested in Jamstack. As I'm the lead of Jamstack Lagos, I'm the Jamstack Lagos lead. So I've seen many people interested in Jamstack. I've seen different people interested in the technologies I'm interested in. For example, IBM Watson. I think that's how it looks like in Nigeria.
That's very exciting. Yeah, I know there's a huge, huge tech community in Nigeria. So, and you're clearly, you know, a big, big part of that. That's very exciting. Yeah. So I'm curious to hear, you know, what your social life is like, because frankly, you're doing a lot of stuff that adults do. You know, you're doing a lot of stuff that older, more established people are doing who are developers. And I'm wondering, do you have friends that are, you know, similarly into tech the way that you are? Or what does that look like for you?
I watch movies. I do different stuff with my friends. For example, whenever I'm off work, I can easily chat with my friends online. For example, I have different friends like Tammy Bakshi. I have Sifiso. I have different people, a lot of teenage developers around the world. So I actually chat with them. I make different conversations with them. That's how my social life is.
Okay.
And whenever I'm off work, I watch movies or play football or sort of that.
Mm-hmm. And what do your parents think of all this? I must imagine that they're really proud of you. What do they think?
They're actually in support of my career path. My parents are in support of my career path. So that's basically how it goes for me.
Yeah. What's been the hardest part of all this for you when you think about the fact that you're a developer advocate, you're an IBM champion, you're a student, you know, you have a real job, you do in the evenings and nights. What's been the most challenging part of all of this?
Oh, yeah. The biggest part is myself coming back from school, then thinking of working again.
How much time do you end up spending at work every week?
During the weekends, probably 10 hours. And during the week, whenever I come back from school, that should be around 4 hours.
Okay. So what is in your future? Do you want to continue on this career path of doing more developer advocacy? Do you want to go to college? What's next for you?
Currently, I'm on a mission to reach out to over 1 million developers and inspire them. So I want to study very soon in Canada, hopefully. Yeah. So I want to study there for computer science, to study in the University of Regina for computer science. And I want to stay on my square path. I want to become a developer advocate expert, like an expert in the developer advocacy field in a few years' time. So I actually want to go out of what I'm being taught. And I also want to study in uni in Canada, which is one of my basic plans for 2021.
So what is your biggest piece of advice to other teens who are listening, who might be interested in getting into code, or maybe parents who are listening who want their kids to get into code? What do you have to say to them?
Yeah, for parents who want their kids to get into coding, I would actually say coding is the future. Many things are going to change in the next few years. I really want people to discover their path early in life. For example, I discovered my career path when I was 5. I actually have friends who discovered their career path at the age I discovered mine also. So I would actually advise every parent listening to this to get a career path for their children. And for the job seeker, work on collaborating with companies. I would advise every job seeker to work on collaborating with different companies like I'm doing for IBM, and reach out to companies when necessary. Reach out to them. That's my advice for job seekers.
Now, at the end of every episode, we ask our guests to fill in the blanks of some very important questions. Are you ready to fill in the blanks?
Yeah.
Number one, worst advice I've ever received is...
I have not received any worst advice yet.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. Number two, best advice I've ever received is...
My best advice I've received is reaching out to reach out to companies I want to work for.
Number three, my first coding project was about...
A media player.
Number four, one thing I wish I knew when I first started to code is...
None.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing you wish you knew?
Yeah.
From 10 years of coding?
No, nothing.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
This show is produced and mixed by Levi Sharp. You can reach out to us on Twitter at CodeNewbies or send me an email, hello@codenewbie.org. Join us for our weekly Twitter chats. We've got our Wednesday chats at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and our weekly coding check-in every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. For more info on the podcast, check out www.codenewbie.org/podcast. Thanks for listening. See you next week.